First time this morning, I'll be number 287. 287. First and last verse. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God, no matter come what may. For life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. For our opening prayer, let's turn over to 295. Again, first and last. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O word with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand earth is done. When by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold way I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful power I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Let's bow in prayer. O Heavenly Father, maker of all that is around us, in the magnificence of all that we see, we come to you this morning thanking you for all the blessings that are around us each and every day. We thank you for the beautiful snow this morning that coats all the trees and the grass, and how beautiful of a scene that is. We thank you that we're able to rise from our beds this morning, to be able to come to you this morning as a family, to be able to worship your name, sing praises to you, and to be able to hear a lesson from your word. As we do so, Father, we ask that as we listen, that we take it into our hearts. We mull upon the words. We apply them to our lives. And we tell the world of your Son's saving grace. For we know that it is your word that's within us that creates the lights that are within us, that the world must see to navigate this treacherous world that is around us. Father, forgive us of our sins. We know that we have many that we have done, but also, Father, we ask that you forgive us of those unknown sins that we may have done. We ask that as we do so, Father, that we do so with a humble heart. Father, watch over those in the congregation who are in need of a special blessing due to illness. Ramona, Phil Bilo, and others that I can't think of at the moment. Father, we ask that if it be your will, bring them back to us and be able, so that they may be able to worship with us. But if not, Father, we also ask that your will be done in all circumstances. We thank you most of all, Father, for your Son, who came to this earth and died for our sins. Father, what wonderful, wonderful love he showed for us. What compassion. We thank you that we have the opportunity to be able to remember him each and every day, but most of all, Father, on this blessed day, this first day of the week. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
To prepare our minds for the communion service, let's turn to scene number 296. Again, this is the first and last day. On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and chain. And I love that old cross.
We've now come to the portion of our worship where we remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I just wanted to read a couple verses to provide some scriptural context and reference for the Lord's Supper. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and saying thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." We see their Lord's Supper was instituted by Christ himself as an act of remembrance. It consists of two emblems. You got the bread, which represents his body, and the cup, or fruit of the vine, and that represents his shed blood. So at this time, we'll give thanks for the bread, and then after the bread, we'll give thanks for the cup, and then we'll pass that. So would you bow with me in prayer for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father, for his willingness to sacrifice himself on the cross, Father, the giving up of his life and his body. And Father, at this time, as we give thanks for this bread, Father, we ask that you would help us to clear our minds, Father, and to think back to the cross, think back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and remember his sacrifice for us, Father. And Lord, we ask at this time that as we partake of the bread, that we might do so in a way and in a manner that would be well-pleasing and acceptable unto thee. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful, Heavenly Father, for you allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, bringing us together in this worship service unto you, and giving us this opportunity to come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for that great plan of salvation, where you sent into this world the only begotten Son. And we're so thankful for the love of our Savior Jesus Christ to willingly give his life on that cross to save this world that was lost in sin, Heavenly Father. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents thy Son's precious blood, that we'll do so in a way and manner that'll be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Invitation after the lesson this morning will be number 10 in the black book. Number 10. Then before the lesson in our scripture reading, let's turn and sing number 651. 651. I stood in the night with my head bowed low in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, "Oh Lord, don't hide your
Today's scripture reading is taken from Psalms 95, verses 1 through 9. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear this voice or his voice, hearken not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. And now our brother Skippy Norman, and the lesson is how to thank God every day.
Good morning. Oh, let's try that again. Good morning. Surely God has been good to us. He woke us up this morning. We're not here because of how good we think we have been. We are here because of how good God has been to us. And truly he has been to us, been good to us. He woke us up. He allowed us to come to assemble ourselves together on this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. Just glad to have one of my sons and his family here this morning from Mount Pleasant, Texas. And my daughter and my granddaughter, every time she's down here, she always say, I always miss snow. Well, she got a chance to see it today. Amen. She got a chance to see the snow. Now she want to go out and play in it. That's all right. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings, this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. Now, Father, as we go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, continue to be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How to thank God every day. We know that this coming Thursday is known as Thanksgiving Day. And maybe you haven't been feeling very thankful lately. Maybe life hasn't been going your way and gratitude has been replaced with grumbling. But because we are in this pandemic, we find ourselves taking our focus off of God. But when you look in this Psalms this morning, in Psalms 95, the author not only invites us to enter into God's presence with thanksgiving, but he also offers three looks why we should be thankful every day. Regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstances, each of us can give thanks to Almighty God. The first thing we want to see this morning is that we want to see an upward look. An upward look should make us thankful. And we're going to be looking at verse number 1 through verse 6. And we're going to spend most of the time here on these verses. And then we'll conclude with the other two points that we're going to make this morning. So let's look at verse number 1. In verse number 1, he says, O come, Let us sing unto the Lord. Maybe this morning he solved your problem. Maybe he has given you directions to go. Maybe he has provided a blessing and you realize that it has come from Almighty God. So from the depth of your being, you proclaim your praise. And that is what this psalmist is saying here. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you can't keep it on the inside anymore. From the depth of your being, you sing unto the Lord. And then he says, let us make a joyful noise. In verse number one, now the Jewish religion was a joyful religion. Christianity is a joyful religion. Yes, there are times of sorrow. Yes, there are times for repentance. Yes, there are times to grieve. But overall, Christianity is a faith of joy. It's a joy to know the God of the universe personally. It's a joy to come before God in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy that God encourages us to come to him. It's a joy that our sins are forgiven. It's a joy that we have eternal life. It's a joy that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Our outward worship should be an expression of what is going on inside of our hearts. See, worship is a privilege. We should be joyful in that privilege. Now notice why. Notice who we are worshiping. We are worshiping the Lord, the great I am. We are worshiping, notice the text, the rock of our salvation. Now, when you think about a rock, A rock cannot be moved. Our salvation as Christians is rock solid. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. The rock that he was referring to was himself. The song that sometimes you hear, I don't know whether we sing it or not, it says that I go to the rock for my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountains stand by me. And when the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. And so we need to understand he is the rock of our salvation. But then in verse 2 he says that we ought to come thankfully. In verse 2 we see that in Psalm. He said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Now, you know, there are people I only hear from when they want something. Do you know people like that? That you only hear from them when they want something. Well, let me ask you a question. When does God hear from us? And when God does hear from us, do we come with a thankful heart for all that he's already done? Do we begin our approach to the throne of grace with a thankful heart? When you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 in the NIV, he said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And so when we look at this, after inviting us to come to him with thanksgiving, the psalmist right in verse number 3. He says, for the Lord is great, is a great God and a great king above all gods. Now notice this. He starts off with God's very nature. He starts off with his character. This is about who God is rather than what God has done. Now, in a word, everything about God is great. His love, his mercy, his patience, his presence, his faithfulness, his forgiveness is all great. The better we know God, the better we know, we will respect God and we'll honor God. The more joyful that we'll be, the more thankful that we'll be when we come into his presence. And then he says again in verse 3, there are so many ways that God is a great God. But I think about two of the greatest things about God are his holiness and his omnipotence. His holiness and his omnipotence. What do you mean? God is great because of his holiness, because he is holy, and he is totally set apart from all that is evil, all that is wrong, all that is wicked in this world. God is holy and therefore worthy of our worship, according to Psalms 99 and verse 3 and verse number 5. But not only God is holy, but God is almighty. God is omnipotent. Psalm 89 and verse number 8. And then he goes on and he talks about this great God. In verse number 4, he said, God, he's in control. He's in control of the deepest places of the earth. Some of which man had never, ever been to. God is also in control of the highest mountain peaks. Every mountain peak, every drop of rain, every blade of grass, every falling leaf gives us another reason to give thanks to Almighty God. The universe and everything in it was custom tailored by Almighty God. Anytime you feel the sun on your face, anytime you feel the wind on your back, you can give thanks to Almighty God. And then in verse number 5, he continues. He talks about God made the sea and everything in it. God made the dry land and everything in it. Because in Psalms 19 and verse number 1, he declares in the NIV, the heaven declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And then in verse number 6, he says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our master. Do you not know that the same God who scoped out the oceans, sculptured the mountains, created you and me? You are not an accident. You and I were handmade by God himself. God described every single detail of your body. God took every bone. He took every joint. He welded them together with sinew and muscles and covered them with skin and gave us eyes to see and brains to think and fingers that can pick up things. God made us inside and out. He made you that way, and he made you the way he wanted you to be, and he made me the way he wanted me to be. That's a mystery. I don't understand why, but somehow God's providence, he decided that he wanted a slim-sized man not too good looking, not outstanding in anything, but just a faithful father and a faithful husband and a humble servant who keep on plodding in his journey, so he made me. Someplace along the way, he had you in mind, so he made you. You and I are unique, and he's still making us. And that is important, church, to realize he's not satisfied with the unfinished product. He's not satisfied with your temper. He's not satisfied with the weak areas of your life where you are giving in to temptation. He's still making you and I. He's still working in our lives. God is your maker, and you are created in his image. Therefore, give thanks. Give thanks for who you are, what God has done for you. And so the upward look should make us thankful. Secondly, I'm almost through. Secondly, the outward look should make us thankful. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. He says now, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Because he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, he expects each of us to praise him, to give thanks to him for what he has done for you and I. But he goes on, and I like this. He goes on, and notice what he says. He says, and the sheep of his hand. Look outward at his supplies. Listen. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Y'all hear me? Our power is shut off. And suddenly we become thankful for electricity. Our garbage is not picked up. And suddenly we become thankful for the garbage collector's weekly stop. A good friend dies. And suddenly we discover how much they meant to us. Being sick, we appreciate good health. Our water become too polluted to drink, and suddenly we appreciate having good water. This pandemic shut everything down. It's threatening again, and now we are thankful for a lot of things. Wearing these masks, we have become thankful for the air that we breathe. And I'm here to tell you again, you don't know what you got until it's gone. So you need to learn to be thankful for what you have. Thank God. Because many times we take the Lord for granted, but be thankful for what you have. And then thirdly, you see, an upward look should make you thankful. An outward look should make you thankful. But thirdly, an inward look should make you thankful. Look again, because see, in spite of this great invitation, he's talking about to come and worship, there's also a warning, an abrupt warning. The warning calls us to repentance. Look at verse 7. He says in the latter part of verse 7. He says, today. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say when it's your convenient time. He says today, if you will hear my voice. The duty required of all that are people of Christ, pastor, and those who need to become a Christian, he says today, if you hear my voice. He expects us to hear his voice. John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice. But then in the latter part of verse 7 and 8, the sin that is warned against, he says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Sometimes, some things that is hardened is not soft. It's not pliable. It's not flexible. It's not moldable. It's stubborn. Hearing the word of God, obeying it, applying it to our lives will make us constantly be repentant of the sins that God reveals to you and I. This will make us pliable, moldable in God's hand. But failure to obey God's word, failure to obey God's word, failure to believe in God will lead to the hardening of your heart. He gives an example. The example is that they are one by which is that of the Israelites in the wilderness. Take heed of sinning as they did, lest you be shut out of the everlasting rest. As they were going out of Canaan, he says, look at here. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. When he talks about that, the provocation is the place where they quarrel with God and Moses. You remember back in Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 2 through verse number 7, in the days of temptation in the wilderness. He says in verse 9, where your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Their sins were unbelief. They tempted God. They proved him. They questioned whether they might take his word and insist upon further security before they will go forward to Canaan by sending spies, and when those discouraged them, they protested against the sufficiency of the divine power and the promise. In Numbers 14 verse 3 and 4, when you read that, this is called rebellion. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 26 and verse 32, the aggregation of this sin was that they saw God's work. They saw what he had done for them in bringing them out of Egypt. But yet, their hearts become hardened. I want to tell you this morning, it's sad today that many who know what God has done, you've seen how God has worked in your life. He has kept you on this side, time of life. You are alive today because of him. But yet, in spite of all that he has done, many still rebel. They won't accept him. They won't obey him. Their hearts have become hardened. And I'm here to tell you, this is a sad situation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because this may be the last time you have upon the face of this earth. God's been good to you. Don't turn your back on him this morning. Because if you lose your soul, you have lost everything. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. If you leave here without Jesus, you don't have Jesus. You have no hope in this world. That's why he says, today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't turn from him. Because if you turn from him, your heart is going to get hardened. Thank God. Thank God every day for the gift of life. By obeying it, by living it fully. How do you do that? How do you obey his word? I'm glad you asked. You come by hearing God's Son. Matthew 17 and verse 5. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. By going down that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature. In Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then the Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2 verse 47. The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. The church he's the head of, the Savior of. He loved it. He's coming back for it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. An upward look should make you thankful. An outward look should make you thankful. An inward look should make you thankful. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
So, Savior, thou art needing. So, Savior. Answer me, Savior.
Would you bow with me? Dear Father, we're so thankful for this day and for all of the great things that you do for us day in and day out. Most of all, we thank you, dear Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for creating us in your image. As we look inward, dear Father, we pray that we'll see your word in action in our lives, that we'll have the proper spirit, that our hearts will always be open to you and to others. Bless this nation, dear Father, and bless the people that we may lean to you and to love one another, to follow your command, to teach, to obey your word, to care for the needy, to look after the sick and the afflicted, and to practice justice in our lives. Be with us, dear Father, as we depart. Help us, dear Father, to look forward to the day when this pandemic is over and that we be always appreciative for the greatness and the goodness that you have sent us. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.